What really does happen when one of these bombs goes off? Well, I could take a half a dozen brand new diplomas, all polished up, nuclear physicists, and toss them that question. Exactly what happens in the atmosphere of Earth when a bomb explodes? Oh, you would hear as many answers as there were physicists. And it would be nothing but speculation, and they would have nowhere to go for any reference. See, it's just speculation. Well, I'll tell you one of the things that happens that they don't know that happens. You get a flash in the ionosphere. Although the thing has exploded in Russia only, there is some slight evidence to support the fact that the entire ionosphere of Earth flashes at that moment. Just like that. So it really ceases to be a problem of fallout. It would be a problem of initial exposure if this were true. Now, nobody's made any tests to find out if that is true, because the instruments to test it would have to be very delicate indeed. You see, this wouldn't be much of a flash. What is the atmosphere count over London at this moment in terms of friendship? These figures aren't released. Maybe somebody around London knows. Maybe somebody tests this. I don't know. But they know what it is over Japan at this moment. Nobody's exploding bombs over Japan. Japan's just getting the air which is going by from other countries. Hence around 200 wrenchen. Do you know how much a human body can stand without being sick? 200 wrenchen. Can it stand 300? No, it gets sick. Or thereabouts. It'll start to feel some little effect from it. Now about 500 wrenchen. Of course, that's really getting up there. You could actually keep exploding bombs on Earth until you had built an atmosphere count which was constantly, let us say, 300 wrenching. If you did that, everybody on Earth would have intestinal upsets, influenza, and would be too apathetic to even go to work. If you had a continuous count of this. See what this problem's all about? It's not a very happy thing to think about. It's not a very cheery thing for me to be talking about this Monday afternoon. But there is, very crudely put, and without much effort to be highly technically accurate, there is more or less the picture that the atomic bomb presents. It isn't whether or not they shouldn't go on wasting plutonium. It isn't whether or not the fallout is watched or isn't watched, or whether we pollute certain areas of Earth. It's just how much saturation can the atmosphere of Earth take. And with continuous exposure, how much can the individuals on Earth be subjected to without becoming entirely ill and incompetent? You see, the main danger from an atomic bomb isn't war. The main danger from an atomic bomb is that everybody, by this higher count, just becomes ill. And they all become ill. And they take a couple of years to kick the bucket. And that would be the whole population of Earth. It's highly doubtful if with modern bombs, Russia could bomb the United States, or the United States bomb Russia, without also killing, regardless of enemy retaliation, everybody in the United States and everybody in Russia. And also, quite incidentally, everybody in England, Italy, China, Burma. See this? They keep thinking in terms of TNT bombs, and this is not a problem in TNT bombs. We know about TNT bombs. Once the bombing raid is over, it's over. Well, that's not true with atomic radiation. Once the bombing raid is over, then people distant from the area begin to wonder. And then they get sick. And then they wonder what the devil's happening now. Now, there's no sense in painting a terribly black picture of this, because it couldn't be any blacker. The atomic bomb is not a good war weapon. It never has been, and it never will be. Nothing is a good weapon which is unlimited and against which there is no defense. The governments of Earth decay and fall apart when we get into this kind of a situation where you have unlimited weapons, terribly unlimited weapons. And these weapons, of course, having no defense, make an impossibility of central government. Central governments cease to exist. Do you know what the first unlimited weapon of which we have any record was? It was the horseman and the sword. A man mounted on a horse with a long sword, and there was nothing could stand against him. There were no walls, there was nothing. And about 1500 BC, this fellow erupted out of the steppes of Russia into Europe, and there was no stable government in Europe until about 1200 BC when somebody built a wall. They built a wall around a town, and then they could have a town because cavalry cannot operate in the vicinity of strong fortifications. But up to that time, they had no fortifications. So you had an unlimited weapon, and you had nothing but chaos. No governments could exist anywhere. All of a sudden, a body of cavalry would stand up, against which there was no defense whatsoever, and just sweep through the entire area and burn everything down. This was Europe for 200 or 300 years back there in the BCs. Now, what? Was there another one? Well, after the catapult came along and managed to pulverize walls, we still hadn't really upset things. See, there was still some defense. And there really hasn't been another one of these things until now. There's no defense against this bomb. No defense at all. So is it a good weapon? No. It's hardly classifiable as a weapon at all. You say retaliation is a deterrent. Because the United States knows that Russia can bomb it, and because Russia knows the United States can bomb it, if either of them start a war, is the silliest thinking that anybody ever called thinking. It is silly in the extreme. It's silly for this reason only. How will the United States ever know if the bombs came from Russia? So what do we have? What do we have? We have a bomb falls on Washington. You mean somebody's going to run out and pick up any pieces of the case to identify it as Russian? No, all of a sudden Russia's going to say, the U.S. is going to say, all right, we've been attacked, attack Russia. Look, maybe it was the Argentine that attacked the U.S. But nobody will know that. So where goes this retaliation? There is no such thing. Furthermore, what retaliation could there be? More bombs. But the bomb bombed into Russia is just as fatal to the U.S. as Russian bombs bombed into the United States are fatal to Russians. Where did anybody get the idea that this silly thing was a weapon? Now, maybe in an A-bomb stage, when nobody else had one, you could take a small country like Japan, which was in a state of being mopped up anyhow, and drop a couple of bombs real quick and discourage them. Maybe it worked. But now a lot of people got bombs. Is the thing a weapon? No, it's not a weapon. And its very existence today is embarrassing foreign affairs for several countries. They don't dare engage in a police warfare to clean up some little minor area. They don't dare engage in it because it might lead to an atomic war. Therefore, they can't use the small weapons that they have ordinarily used to carry out their police operations around the world. Honest. It's one of these problems that people just go mad with and then eventually conceive to be no problem at all. Now, let me tell you something. Very often, people drop below a level with problems. But although the problem hasn't diminished, they are in apathy about it. I'll give you an example of this. One of our own staff processed on a problem mother could be to you. Now, this is an example of below apathy. And if you're not interested in atomic bombs, you'd be interested in this piece of Scientology. Below apathy. Problem mother could be to me? Oh, I don't know. Maybe problem of eating ice cream? You know, without getting some on my tie. Yeah, that's a problem mother could be to you. Another problem mother could be to you? Oh, she's a pretty good old girl. There's nothing wrong with her. Problem she could be to me? Well, I don't know. I guess the problem of, waiting for a streetcar. Having to wait 5 or 10 minutes for a streetcar. Problem minor. Well, all right, now, let's see. Problem mother could be to me? Ow. Well, I don't know. The whole universe caved in on me simultaneously. Look at that quick change. That's a fascinating one. Now, you'll see that in cases. The fellow says, do you have any present time problems? No, don't have present time problems. Life is fine. Well, now, let's think it over. Has there anything been worrying you lately? No, everything is fine. And yet, as you process this person, you're aware of the fact that there is some kind of a present time problem that's interrupting this session. So you would go at it a little heavier. This is a very recent and a very important discovery, by the way, this below apathy. The theta goes on south. We get to the end of the tone scale and we keep going south. And there he is. Present time problem? No. Well, is there anything happening around you these days? Oh, nothing. Wife's divorcing me, but that doesn't worry me. I've been expecting that for years. Oh, your wife's divorcing you. Well, now, can you give me a problem of comparable magnitude to that? Oh, sure. Missing lunch. Well, give me another problem of comparable magnitude to it. Busting a shoelace. Well, give me another problem of comparable magnitude to that. I don't know. It's too big. You got the idea there. A person actually can get into a state of mind where he says, I'm totally numb on this particular subject. I don't know anything about it, and it doesn't relate to me. I imagine some chap being led to the scaffold can get in the same frame of mind. They're dragging him along to the scaffold, and he asks the executioner for a chew of tobacco, and they lead him up on the scaffold. You'd like to make a farewell address? No, no. Honey, everything's fine. Lovely day, isn't it? Steps over on the trap door, and they fit the rope around his neck, and he says, wait a minute, I'm being hanged. See, he just found it out. Well, that's not exactly the same case. Because the fellow we're talking about is being hanged all the time and never does discover it. That's what we mean is below apathy. Well, now, if you look at the atomic problem as a problem that's below apathy, perhaps you'll be able to understand it. That's certainly as close as anyone will ever come to understanding it. If an atomic bomb is this ferocious, it really isn't a bomb. It's a sort of a, I don't know, it's the same kind of a game as Russian roulette. You know what Russian roulette is, you know? Same kind of a game. Let's see, I will bomb England tomorrow. Yes, let's bomb England. He's saying in the same sentence, let's kill off everybody in our own country. Now, people go along fatuously with this. They think everybody wants to survive. Get that. Governments are sort of stuck with this idea. They threaten criminals with death as a penalty on the theory that it is a penalty. And that life imprisonment is less penalizing. Whereas most criminals that you ask about this and so forth, they would rather get knocked off. You get the idea here. If everybody was interested in only survival, and there was no succumb edited into it any place, and nobody had the ambition to succumb, then this reasoning about the bomb would be true. See, then we'd say we could have this thing around with impunity because nobody wants to use a weapon that'll kill everybody on Earth. See? But how about the guy that can only succumb, huh? How about the Russians that used to go into the barn and feel sad and then set fire to it and burn it down on themselves? Well, you didn't know Russians did that, but they do. How about some guys out in the Bible Belt in the United States? You listen to them talk very long and you say, where did this guy... You know, this guy'd have a new thought if I told him about survival. He wants to succumb. He thinks everybody else wants to succumb. He thinks that that's the only thing he could possibly do is succumb. You see, let's all die off quick. In other words, such peoples do exist. They're on the reverse vector. At first in Dianetics, we thought there was just survival. But survival has its dichotomy, succumb. And there are people who wish to succumb on all dynamics, right straight down the whole list. Now, if this is the case, then the atom bomb is not a safe bomb to have around in the world. It's not safe. Just because it'd kill off everybody in the world would be the best reason for somebody to use it. Now, it would actually take us, who have some conversance with the human mind, to understand the limitations and the safeguards connected with this bomb. The limitations of its use are simply that it cannot be used. But this does not mean that it will not be used. Other limitations are that the pollution of Earth's atmosphere could result in very, very strenuous punishment for the population of Earth. If anybody knows this story completely, then I do not know his name. The data is not widely and generally held. The situation is not in good hands. Undoubtedly, the chaps who are handling the situation are doing their best. Undoubtedly, this is true. But with these streams of bombs going off, one right after the other, I don't think the best is good enough. Now, do we have any personal acquaintance with this? Yes, we do. A number of tests have already been made in an effort to proof the body against reacting to radiation in Scientology. This is very intimate to our work, very intimate. Now, although the data I give you on the bomb and on pollution and radiation is as vague as it is, the data which I will give you now on Scientology's place in this is not vague. Now we're on ground we know. And we can say this, that at this time we do not have a process which will proof a body against a bomb. In other words, we cannot process somebody who will then not suffer extremely from radiation. That we evidently at this time cannot do. But we can take a burn which would be fatal within about 40 days and cure it. Do you understand that? Standard routine processing does that. A burn that would ordinarily result in death in 40 days. This I know we can do. 20 days, I don't think we can do it at this time. That is, a burn that would result in death in 20 days, I do not think we can do. Not yet. As far as exteriorizing a thetan and accustoming him to the idea of radiation, yes, we can do this. This we can do. But not a body. As far as somebody who would merely have a pair of sore eyes for a week, that's not. That's not. That's 5 minutes processing. That's the easiest processing you ever did. You say, spot the spot where you saw the flash, where are you now? Spot the spot where you saw the flash, where are you now? Spot the spot where you saw the flash, where are you now? He says, my eyes are off. I mean, it's that simple. Now, that we can handle one on an immediate flash basis, and that we can handle a burn which would result in death in 40 days, does, however, give us hope that we may discover more data on this that makes it possible for us to proof a body against atomic radiation. It's just a hope. That's all we've got, though. And boy, that's the thinnest hope you ever heard. That's like a long shot in a race, you know, 180 to 1. That's a real thin hope. Now, our acquaintance with it is not a textbook acquaintance. There's a group of us right here at this Congress, we call ourselves the Phoenix Survivors. The count at Phoenix was evidently around 300 rentgen, day after day after day after day, with Lord knows, I don't know, 100 or 200 atomic bombs were shot off in Nevada while we were in Phoenix. You wonder why the Hazi moved out of Phoenix, Arizona. That is why. That area is too hot. The area was sufficiently hot that nobody could prospect for uranium there. Everything counted. Everything counted. You come in and you've got a Geiger counter and you turn it on to find out if its batteries are live. And you point it over toward the piano and the piano's hot. That's right. And so there are a few of us that will go before the rest of you. That's what it amounts to. Because when they started flashing them off over here in Russia, in Australia, and so forth, this particular crew got sick. The rest of you didn't get sick. Why? We were closer to continuous radiation over a longer period of time than other people. We're just ahead of the game a little bit. None of us have ever thought to be processed upon this particular thing as an emergency, you know, an assist. Nevertheless, this could be done, and undoubtedly we will do it, and we will get this thing solved and taped. But right now we don't have it taped, even vaguely. And we have, these few of us, a foretaste of exactly what would be waiting for the human race. You'd get awful damn sick. Nausea, terror feeling at the pit of the stomach, headaches, fever, and then after a while something that resembles a cold. And then this goes, temperature goes up and down on this, and so on. And then that passes away, and you get well, or you get almost well, and somebody blows another bomb off. Now, we then know, to some slight degree, what we're talking about from two angles. Some of us have had subjective reality on this. Last February, during the experiments and so forth, I thought I'd knocked this body off. I thought that was that. And it took me about, oh, I don't know, 2-3 weeks to pull out of the woods on that one. And we can see that there's coordination in this, and we can see also what will be necessary in terms of research and investigation in order to do more about this. But part of our research and investigation, I feel, should be directed in the direction of, boys, why don't you knock off exploding them for a little while till we find out what is happening? You know, just no more than that. We merely said, let's just knock it off. And then we'll discover what is going on here. But they're not doing that. They keep experimenting with them. And it's the last atomic scientist that was fired from the... he was fired from the Atomic Energy Commission, U.S., for saying he didn't like this, named Dr. Will Lapp. He said 1962 was the pollution deadline. He said after that, he said the place would get uninhabitable. Too hot. Everything would start to count. And keep on counting from there on out. Now, we are facing a problem of magnitude, and this problem is, however, in the process of solution. It is in the process of solution. As I stand here before you wiping my nose, I'm standing here wiping my nose in front of you just because of this same thing I'm talking to you about. I just had too heavy a radiation dosage. That's about all there is to it. You take somebody who studied the stuff, somebody who has done processing on it, somebody who has been messing around on it, why, he, of course, gets heavier accumulation than anybody else. That's all there is to it. Just as nonsensical as that. It's not very dangerous. It's just awfully uncomfortable. You know, somebody wrote a great poem one time that wound up, I think it's The Straw Men, and the world isn't going to end with a bang. It's going to end with a whimper. Remember? Well, the way I look at it, I think that's what's going to happen. The world won't end with a bang. It'll end with a whimper of everybody overdosed with radiation, standing around with streaming noses, being very sick at their stomachs. Grim view, isn't it? But that's why you have a HASI, and that's why you have an organization, and that's why the pounds and dollars which go into the organization have to go on into the organization, because we do undertake research, investigation of this character. It does cost a little something to do that. And we do a better job per unit of cash than any other organization on Earth, and I can certainly assure you of that by a ratio of about 1,000 to 1. And we have the situation in view. We are looking at it fairly carefully, and we aren't just observing fallout. We're trying to find out how you proof a body, how you proof a thetan, how you make a person capable of withstanding atomic radiation. And if I last long enough, maybe we'll win. But this we see as number one problem on Earth today, because if we don't solve that one, there's no sense in solving any of the others. It is not a situation that you go and beat your head in about particularly. It's simply a situation that you keep your eyes open about and do a little propagandizing on the subject of. You know, if you just mention to enough people, do you think they ought to be setting off all those bombs before they know what they're doing with those bombs, you might possibly get a public reaction of sufficient magnitude that even governments would be able to listen and stop on the line. But during this Congress, the chaps who were out in Phoenix and so forth, because of the A tests in Russia and in Australia and so forth, have been a bit upset. We have a vested interest in it. We have a personal interest in it. We don't expect you to have that for years. But this is the atomic bomb situation. I hope I've clarified it a little bit. I hope you find my remarks not too depressing. But I don't know very much about it. I probably know more than other people, but I don't know anything. And now you know a little something about it anyway, don't you? Yes. Well, now don't get depressed about this. I see you all look rather depressed, because as a matter of fact, you probably won't get chronic influenza for almost 2 or 3 years. I mean. And by that time, if we last long enough, we'll have it all solved. So that's the way it is. Thank you very much.